Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Distraction Podcast, where the discussion happens. I'm your host, Holiday, and they are my conversationalists, Dre and Heavy D. We are brought to you by the Distraction Network. You can download our podcast at www.distractionnetwork.com or send out a tweet and let them know how you love us at distract_net. You can also email us at distractionnetwork@gmail.com and or like us on Facebook at distractnet. All right, now all the red tape's out the way. Let's go get it.
Get out of here. ASAP.
No. You hear him trying to leave? You hear him trying to leave, messages. Y'all? Good morning. Evening. Afternoon. You're listening to Discussions. We're on Distraction Network. I'm Holiday. And today we have our conversationalists. We have D.
What's up, man?
And Dre.
What's happening?
Dre has a conversation for us to go through.
So, came across this documentary series on Netflix. It's called Reggie Yates, The Outside Man. Couldn't really believe that I even remember
this.
Normally, I don't remember his name. But it's only about 5 episodes. And so basically, it's a documentary series on cultural studies. And so he goes and he studies like modern day Russia and what the vibe is like over there, or South Africa post-apartheid, and just kind of examines all these cultures being an outsider. Right. And this is a black dude, but he's British. So just a really interesting take on it. But he does one, and it is on this mega church in Africa. And so religion in Africa is kind of different. Still a very, very strong voodoo influence.
Right.
So lots of stuff going on. And so it was really interesting to watch, and some of it from my perspective and the filters that I've had in life and my understanding of the Bible, it was just really incomprehensible. Mm-hmm. Like, I just couldn't understand how people could kind of go along and accept this as true teaching. And so it was a lot of different stuff that was going on. And the pastor, he had like, I don't know, something like 10,000 followers or whatever. And so in service, he would cast out demons by placing his hand on women's vaginas. Just all kinds of stuff that would be deemed absolutely inappropriate if we were to see it here. But so I watched that and I thought about it and other things that I've seen. And I've talked to you, Holiday, before about the whole Jonestown. Do you know about Jonestown?
No.
So in 78, there was a preacher, evangelical preacher named Jim Jones. And I want to say he was from the Midwest, like maybe Chicago, but
I know that name, but I don't.
Well, yeah. Because there's a rapper.
Maybe that's why I know that name.
Right. Bowen.
Yeah. But Jim Jones, he was a white dude, extremely charismatic. And he went around moving and setting up churches and preaching and had
so the normal evangelical stuff.
Yeah, normal right. Evangelical stuff. But he would just amass a tremendous following wherever he went. And so eventually, after moving to several different cities and, you know, building these ministries or whatever, not building them and leaving, but just sort of traveling all around, he decided that he wanted to create this compound. And he had somehow acquired all of this land in Africa, in Nigeria. And he, as charismatic as he was, convinced several people to sell their homes to give him his life savings so that they could go and create this sort of heaven on earth oasis. And so he goes to Africa with a ton of people and a very few Africans. Most of the people there were Americans that he had taken with him, over 900 people. And they live over there for, wow. I think about three years Jonestown ran. And so lots of reports. You can go and look at different documentaries or whatever. But anyway, it ended in one of the largest mass suicides in our country or in history. Almost all of the 900 people, I think, like at the end of the day, like maybe 48 survived or something like that. And it was you know, it was a Kool-Aid. Like, it literally, he had made this Kool-Aid and given everybody poison because it would be better for them to die together than to exist in this world. So I'm watching all of that, and that whole Jonestown thing came to mind, and then this recent documentary. And so then I'm looking at, like, modern day religion and all of these mega ministries that we have, and a lot of people who seemingly follow leadership blindly. Like, it doesn't seem to be any, okay, this is what I'm being taught, but then if I study, maybe the two don't line up, and so I make a decision as an adult, you know, what's right and what's left. And I just don't see a lot of that happening. So how does that happen? Like, how does, and I realize that people want something to believe in. People want to align themselves and attach themselves to a power that's greater than their own. But how is it that some of these people who don't, I mean, let's be real, they don't have anything to do with what they're preaching and teaching doesn't have anything to do with God or the Bible. Like, they're literally just pulling stuff out of the air. I want to make Holiday laugh so bad. Well, I think I told you this, like, the whole Jim Jones thing, like, when you watch the documentary, because there's some actual survivors in the documentary, and there's this guy who said that, you know, he was just working one day, and they were all overworked. Like, they were all overworked. And the way that Jonestown was set up, they had a speaker. Jim Jones, he was constantly having services, and they would have church every single day. But even when they weren't in service, he had loudspeakers everywhere of him preaching. So 24 hours a day, all you heard was his voice. And they were, the survivors were talking about the craziness that went on there. And there was one guy who said that he was working one day, and Jones walked past him. He was like, "Hey, man, how are you? Everything good?" And he's like, "Yeah, everything is good." And then Jim Jones looks at him. He says, "You know I'll fuck you in your ass if you want me to, right?" And the guy was like, I'm good." And he was like, "Okay, well, you know, if that's what you want, you just let me know and I'll make that happen." Like, and, you know, he had fathered a bunch of children within the compound. It was just, so how does that this happen? And granted, a lot of what we see today isn't to that extent.
Right.
But there's still, you know, I've seen local churches where the pastor has been arrested for having drugs on it, like just behavior that you wouldn't expect from your pastor. Mm-hmm. And congregations are still okay and people don't leave. And I'm not saying that they should, but how is this sort of blind following fostered? Like, where does that come from? And is it healthy for a society for that sort of dedication to be so prevalent and prominent?
I think the problem really comes when there's a focus on an individual as opposed to a church. So, like, people are focused on Jim Jones, and Jim Jones is their church. But people who have preachers who make bad decisions and they don't leave church, they're not leaving their church. They're leaving that person behind, and that person is, we're not idolizing that preacher. We still have the religion that we're backing on, but, you know, I think that's the main issue. And this is stuff that people have been doing for years. It's when sure. people for, like, you know, like $1,000 Bibles, like, you know, give us $1,000, we'll give you this Bible. Yeah. And that Bible's worth like $20 maybe.
Right. I saw when I say recently, within the past 5 years, this preacher who filled his bathtub with oil, with like olive oil, and then submerged himself in it and sat in it, and then sold vials of the oil because he allegedly was so anointed that if you purchase this prayer oil that he has soaked his naked butt in, that it was somehow blessed and you would be probably the better for it. Having it in your position. Like, just as a rational thinking adult, how does that appeal to certain people? Like, why is everybody not looking at him saying, "You're crazy, sir"?
I
don't know.
I would have to assume that there's a group of people that have made him believe that that is something that he could get away with.
One thing they say is common about all this is that the congregations, they're not all stupid people. Like,
well, I wouldn't think so. Like, I mean, I wouldn't think that you could get 900 morons together in one place. Like, it can't be as simple as that. It can't be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they say they're not dumb.
Well, they might not be dumb, but they have no common sense. Most of them
missing.
There's zero common sense.
Because I'm thinking in the onset, like, you know, if I'm going to your church, Pastor Jones, and you come to my house one day and you tell me, hey, sell your house and give me all your money and move with me to paradise, to Africa, I am going to invite you out of my living room, and I'm probably never going to show up at your church again.
I'm
going to
say, did you say paradise in Africa?
Well, I mean, I don't care if it was paradise in paradise. Like, I'm just, I don't get it. So, yeah. And you know, I look at all of the craziness and it makes me angry, because as someone raised in the church who considers himself a Christian and a believer and all that good stuff, it's heartbreaking because it casts this sort of already bad perception. It just exacerbates that and makes people think even less of the church and Christianity and its legitimacy. So it's just,
yeah, I mean, I think some of these people might be legitimate, but I think they're all just batshit crazy.
They're either
batshit crazy, or they're players. That's all they are. And they know that they can exploit money from people, so they're going to do something that's easy to do.
Yeah, and you know, my question is never on the person who's doing it. Like, my question is never on the Jim Jones or the vagina demon casting out guy. Like, I'm never questioning them, because I can take that one person and just say, oh, you're just nuts. It's the 900 people that follow them.
People like to believe things. People like to be in groups and believe that what they know is right. And when that group gets larger, it makes them more confident that they are right and they know what they're talking about.
Like, I'm not slandering Christianity or anything, but without that mentality, there would not be a Jesus. Like, if there wasn't people that would see things and believe in what they see, then there would not be a story to tell 2,000 years later.
No, because the people in the Bible didn't really have to have faith. They were sitting there with it. They didn't have to have faith. And they didn't have faith when Jesus came back.
Right, because you're talking about a time
when... But they also
had
voodoo and black magic and magicians back then, too. So they could have said, oh, he's just a power magician.
And they tried to.
And they tried to. But without the same type of belief that enables those cults to be formed today, then we would not have that.
But see, here's the thing, though. Like, I get what you're saying, because there were idol gods back then. But the power, if you're a Bible believer, the power of Christ was manifested within your, like, it was tangible.
Right.
Like, you saw miracles being performed. Mm-hmm. You saw people being healed of obvious diseases,
death.
Leprosy, and people being raised
healed
from
of
the
death.
Dead. Yeah. So, it, like he said, you didn't have to have faith because you could see it. Like, I don't have to believe that you're wearing a highlighter yellow shirt. I can see that you're wearing a highlighter yellow shirt. Like, so.
For the people that's listening, all both of y'all, I'm wearing a highlighter yellow shirt.
Jim Jones would have had a lot more people if he was doing miracles. If he was performing miracles,
right, performing
there would have been
miracles.
A lot more than 900 people, and he probably would still be around today.
Right.
But
he was.
What about
the
vagina grabbing man? The people that's up there.
So here's the thing with vagina grabbing.
Stage acting?
With VG. Mm-hmm. Here's the thing with him. So, like, Jim Jones was American, right? So I can judge him based on American standards. Like,
American.
He was.
It doesn't matter.
He was charismatic. He was extremely well smoking. He was a very handsome guy. So I can sort of see some of the now African culture. I'm not ensconced in, so I can't judge this dude the same way. Mm-hmm. Like, I just see an African dude. You know what I mean? Like, because my filters are different.
And his hair
so
was
I
ashy.
Can't say that, you know, he's charismatic or why people believe him. He just looks like a crazy
dude,
person to me.
He was selling Vaseline. Was it Vaseline, right?
Was it Vaseline?
Who? I think it was the African dude.
You saw that? Did you see it?
Yes.
Okay.
But he didn't use that same Vaseline on his head because his head was ashy, dude. He had like ash spots all through his head.
I did not remember that part that you saw.
You were
what?
The one person who viewed that video was looking at the dude's head. Everybody else was watching him grab people's vaginas.
Yeah, because
I was. You know, in Africa, you still have, you know, these are poor people. Like, a lot of them are still living in shanties and makeshift houses or whatever. And then he is riding around in, you know, a chauffeur driven Mercedes with like tons of bodyguards. And so I get it. Like, even in today's culture, as people, most of us, we need someone to aspire to. And we need someone to feel better than.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's just, you know, that's part of the appeal of your president.
One
because
level
people
up, one level
want
down.
to look up to that kind of wealth. And you know what I'm saying? Like, I see that a lot, but I don't understand how it attaches to your faith and you think, oh yeah, yeah, this is normal. Like, I'm a guy and my pastor wants to ride my butt. Like, that's perfectly normal and somehow connected to faith in Jesus Christ.
Right. So that's one of the reasons why I stepped out. I love hymns. Like, we had this conversation before. Mm-hmm. I go to church for the hymns. I can't sing a lick. But in church, I would be all over them hymns hitting all the wrong notes. I ain't hit the right note yet. I'm 35. So, but the way I have to receive the word from people I don't trust, preachers, because I don't trust most of them, that's the reason why I don't go to the church. So, but yeah, it's a shame though. Like, I can't understand that.
I constantly fact check preachers all the time. Like, I listen intently and I feel like I'm open to receive. But if you say something and I'm like, ooh, that doesn't sound right, and I will grab and I'll sit right in service and kind of research and read if it goes against something that I remember or recall not being quite the way that you presented it.
At least you ain't kicked out of church on live TV.
I don't think people do that. They just kind of take it all at face value and agree, which is, you know, that's scary.
Yeah, because they see that, I don't know.
People are just sheep.
In my little small town.
And sheep are dumb.
Yeah.
We talked about analogies earlier. You know, that is a perfect analogy of what we see, because sheep are mindless.
Mm-hmm.
They literally just follow.
And in my small town, that's what I used to see. Like, they will see the preacher or treat the preacher as if he was Jesus instead of a person trying to bring the message.
Right. And Jesus, then we get angry when leaders start to act that way.
Yeah.
But we fostered that behavior. We've created it.
I don't know. I've never been to a church that does that.
Really?
It's always been a, you know, when they talk about sin or when they talk about being, especially when they talk about sin, they're like, you know, I'm a man, you're a man, mm-hmm. we all sin, I'm not perfect, I'm a human being. So they separate themselves from being a deity
mm-hmm.
and being a preacher of somebody who just brings the word. But I take that back. I went to one church with a friend in college, and the people started speaking tongues about 2 minutes in.
Black church, huh?
No, it was a white church.
What?
Oh, they're absolutely.
They're white churches that they go,
absolutely. They're white churches where they, you know.
And unfortunately, the exit to the building was behind the stage, so I sat there the entire time, and I was very, and it wasn't just the preacher. Most of the congregation, because it was a pretty small church, got up there and started speaking tongues too. So I looked around, and I was one of the few left sitting down. And I was like, I'm not getting myself involved with this madness. But maybe that's not them. They're supposedly like the God is putting like His hand on them, and they're speaking His language that we can't understand.
Yeah. Well, you know, the Bible says
that happens to be in
evidence of the Holy
a lot
Ghost.
Of.
So there's some churches that believe if you don't speak in tongues, then you're not. You don't have the Holy Ghost. You aren't really saved.
But I will say that everybody who were speaking in tongues, most of them were speaking like loops, like patterns of the same thing over and over again. So I don't know if God like just speaks in patterns all the time or or what. But like they would just say the same damn thing like every fifth syllable.
It I would have been on my way to church with my iPhone, putting it to my mouth. And when everybody started, I just put that thing on record and start dancing around.
Or like the churches where they literally, they're speaking in tongues and passing out, and they're passing around snakes.
Oh God.
Yeah, because the Bible says that if you truly
grab the serpent.
You tread upon heads of serpents and they won't be able to harm you.
Yeah.
I do it just like I was in a cypher and they were passing the blunt around. I take a step back and just point to the next person. Nope, not me.
I just remembered Indiana Jones. Temple of Doom, mm-hmm. where those people were down there ripping people's hearts out of their chest.
Yeah.
And like, I'm gonna
I keep saying
they're lowering down in the fire.
I
like, holy
that I'm
shit.
Gonna go back and watch that movie because as a child,
I've never seen it.
Indiana Jones, Temple of Doom, the art, like, I had no idea. as a kid, the religious basis of that, that he was actually trying to retrieve the Ark of the Covenant. Like, yeah. I didn't know that as a kid. Yeah, so.
Isn't there also one that's called the Ark of the Covenant?
The Recovenant?
The Ark of the Covenant.
The Covenant, yeah.
You know he's from Baysville, Leesburg. Don't do that. Don't play him out like that.
Baysville,
you messing with my Shut brain up. Like that. Like, I'm hearing it, but it's fucking with me.
Yeah. Final thoughts. So even that and what was the last one? National Treasury?
You mean, are you talking about the last Indiana Jones movie?
No.
That was some Crystal Skull bullshit. One, it was horrible.
No, National Treasury is the one with
Nick Cage.
National Treasure.
National Treasure, excuse me.
Yeah.
Again, very strong.
Mm-hmm.
Religious, because he was actually searching for King David's Bloodline. King David's lost treasure.
Oh, that
one. Yeah.
Which one was the Bloodline?
It could be two. I've never seen two.
Okay.
But there was that Tom Hanks one too, right?
The Da Vinci Code?
Yeah.
I can't bring myself to watch that one. I've not watched it.
Why come not? You don't think it's good or?
No, just with everything that I've heard about it, you know, just traditional church.
Make your
beliefs.
Own opinions.
Yeah, I absolutely should. You know, absolutely should. But I don't delve into stuff that I have a pre-notion that will be deeply sacrilegious.
The Illuminati.
Like, you can explore different things, but when you start just getting into just blatant sacrilege, I just kind of don't want to take part.
Oh.
What about the Illuminati?
I see it as sex.
Can we talk about the Illuminati here?
You can. I mean, I don't fear them. Because Beyonce can come and get this two-piece. Like, I'm not scared.
I don't think it's what everybody think it is, but... We can talk about it, but I don't think it's what everybody think it is.
Come get this two-piece.
So you get this two-piece.
And a biscuit.
But yeah, I think people are sheep. I think people are going to always follow whatever is something that someone tells them that is going to save their souls.
Well, y'all should follow distraction.
For centuries. It's been happening for centuries. Yeah. People have been paying for the atonements of their sins. People paying for the atonements of their dead relative sins, so that way they can go out of purgatory to heaven. Like, kind of right. Bullshit is that? Like, so
you don't hear much talk about purgatory anymore.
Well, I mean, unless you hang out with a bunch of Catholics.
Catholics still they would have changed their belief midstream, but Catholics still believe in purgatory. Yeah. They still believe that there's this place that you go to between heaven and hell.
Yeah.
Huh.
And play golf, right?
No, you just kind of
float
there. So
where do they get that from? Because the Bible talks about, you know, because it's Christ, right? Like, Catholics fundamentally believe that Christ existed.
Right.
So how did they just skip over that part where it talks about you sleeping until Judgment Day and that great resurrection when those who are dead will rise? It doesn't say that they're chilling out
in the
lobby.
Well, I think that's where
it says that they're
if
dead.
If you're sleeping until Judgment Day, then you're in purgatory. But if you're sitting in heaven... until as soon as you're dead and your soul goes on, whatever, you're in heaven, then you are in heaven.
But the way I've always heard it explained, it's almost like purgatory is this sort of conscious state. So not that you're sleeping, but that you're just kind of chilling in limbo.
You're just kind of floating out in the white space, yeah.
Kind of like
not really doing anything. Can't really do anything. You're just there. First, you have sentences depending on your sins. Now, also, you have to understand, though, that they very much believed that you cannot ask for your own forgiveness for your sin. That would have to go through a priest. So you have to get that through a priest. So if you didn't do that, purgatory.
So
if you didn't pay enough money to the church, purgatory. If your relative who didn't go to church died,
but see,
they'd come to you and say,
okay,
if you want them to get out of purgatory, you need to pay us his atonement for his entire life. And so people would pay that shit.
So here's the thing. The whole needing a go-between. So again, because I'm very confused at how certain parts of the Bible are just not paid attention to. So again, the whole thing where Christ died on the cross and the veil in the temple is ripped in two because there's no more need for the priest to go.
There's no more need
because
for
that
the
was
holies.
In the original temple, the priest went on your behalf and once a year. But then when Christ died
just
and the veil was ripped,
a bunch of animals.
That was done.
Yeah,
that was done. So now why do I still need the priest?
Because you're supposed to confess your sins.
But the Bible said I didn't have to do that anymore.
No, you're confessing your sins to man. So that way you have some type of accountability for your sins as opposed to just...
But Christ dying was the perfect atonement. That's what the Bible says.
Listen, I agree with you, right?
But I just wonder how they get to that. Okay.
Y'all read the same Bible?
I mean, it's kind of all the same thing.
Just ask.
Yeah.
Because it was a setup. For
we didn't bite, did we?
Was it?
We didn't respond.
No, oh my God.
Y'all say y'all do. So my thing is, the people who teach you the Bible, how do they read the same words, come out of it with different explanations?
Because it's vague.
It's cryptic. You know. It really is. It really is cryptic. I'm very careful. I don't like a lot of the newer translations. It's just like that old game of telephone that we used to play when we were kids.
At that point, how many times has it been translated?
I stick with the King James. I stick with the original translation.
That's one of the reasons why I started learning Hebrew. I stopped. But when I was in Atlanta, Hebrew and Arabic was the languages I was learning. Because I feel like when any translation breaks down the meaning, so I wanted to be able to read the Bible in Hebrew and read the Quran in
Arabic. And you can get a Greek Hebrew keyword Bible where it has, you open a page and each page has it in Greek, it has it in Hebrew, and then it has the direct translation. Mm-hmm. Like you can absolutely get one of those,
But I'm in school right now, so I'm going to be about 40 before I go back to trying to learn that stuff. But in my later half of my life, that's what I want to do. Learn the languages and read it in the original text. That's it. And then I could die a happy soul and be reborn again.
And make your atonement accordingly so that you're not just hanging out in the white space.
You just kind of float around. It's not great, but it's not bad, you know?
Yeah, well. Fortunately, Paul said, not all shall sleep. Some of us are just going to be caught up.
Yeah, I don't want to. Anyway, final thoughts.
I kind of went over mine already, but people are sheep. They're going to follow the path. Least resistance.
Yeah.
Makes them feel better about themselves.
I feel like people are always going to have the need to see someone and look up to someone. Like in churches, your preacher, all your deacons and all that. In the streets, we looked up to the drug dealers. Or a basketball player that made it, or a football player that made it. So people are always going to look up to someone and believe it and follow that person. Like I'm one of those people that believe that hip-hop and pop culture does manipulate the minds of the people because that's who we're looking up to. And I feel that's the same way when it comes to the preachers and everything. The people that go to church are the people that have a religion. They're looking for something to believe in. And that person, they see something in that one person that they like that reminds them this much of them, they bought their life.
Yeah. Just study to show thyself approved and having the ability to rightly divide the word of truth. Like, I mean, that's what the Bible says.
Right.
You know? It doesn't say, you know, assemble yourselves on Sunday morning and just take whatever the guy standing in the front of you says for truth.
Right.
But study to show thyself approved and thereby creating the ability to rightly divide the word of truth. So being able to, you yourself, being able to assess it and determine what's right.
But how many people out of 10 people not only can see it that way, but also practice it that way?
In my circle, all 10, because I hang around smart people.
Well, you hang around
present company
me,
included.
So.
I just said present company included.
He said I'm smart.
He's talking about me.
Okay.
Yeah. But to your point, no, not many. Not many people do it. As evident by the 900 that drank the Kool-Aid with Jim Jones, as evident by the thousands of people that assemble weekly to the coochie grabber.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just not a lot.
Right.
Unfortunately. It's sad.
You ever heard the expression, don't drink the Kool-Aid? You heard that, right?
Oh, yeah.
That's where it comes from.
Yeah.
It comes from Jonestown, yeah.
You should. I think
I knew it was from some cults. When you said Kool-Aid, I was obviously like, oh, okay. Yeah.
As soon as you look it up, you'll probably be like, oh, I know this.
And, you know, I remember because 78 as a kid, like obviously I remember how old I was and where we were living and all that kind of stuff. And so I asked my mom, hey, was this a big deal? Like, do you remember this being in the news? And so she said, only when the suicide happened. Mm. That's when it got coverage. But, you know, there was no word of, hey, this preacher just moved 900 people to this paradise compound in Africa. She was like, that part didn't make the news. Mm. But when all those people died, you know, that was covered.
Dang. All right, guys.
Craziness.
The end. I'm joking. If you would like to keep in contact with us or follow us, you can email us at thedistractionnetwork@gmail.com. Our Facebook is at distractnet. Twitter is at distract_net. And everything and more is on our website at www.distractionnetwork.com. Take care and be safe. I'm focused on that finish line, developing a strong mind. Here's a goal, they stop making my kind. Yeah, I lose sleep, but it's alright, cause I'm on the grind.